Hey, hour two of the Lori and Julia show, and let's get it started because you guys have a VIP guest on the line here. Someone
yes, we do.
Yes, from
we
your favorite award show.
Yes.
We have Kathy Connell joining us, and she's one of three executive producers for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which are happening this Sunday night, April 4th on TNT and TBS. And it's the one and only pandemic broadcast you're ever going to have to do, Kathy.
Oh, God willing. God willing. And how are you, ladies?
Oh, we're good.
We got over our disappointment. We knew we would not be coming out to Los Angeles in January. Oh, I think we knew that by like August or July.
Yeah.
Didn't we know that?
Yeah.
How has it been for you planning an award show during a pandemic and making it be exciting for people?
You know, it really has been an interesting creative challenge for everybody, but I think we're really excited. We have a fabulous, fabulous team. Like, you've met most of them,
yes,
ladies, on your many trips out to visit us. So you know we have a very creative bunch, and we're really leaning into fun. The show is only an hour long. And there has never been a shorter award show, which I think everybody appreciates.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to make it safe.
Okay.
We wanted to make it safe, and we wanted to make it fun. And we have always said that the SAG Awards are the actors' party in the actors' house.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it's really in their house.
You're right.
I mean, that is something interesting. We just read that today, that you literally have pre-taped, you know, the winners, all the winners, and made them sign, you know, non-disclosure so that doesn't come out before Sunday's show.
Well, we will be doing that.
Oh, okay.
We haven't done it quite yet because the voting only closed about a couple hours ago.
It is not Wednesday.
We're still dealing with figuring it out.
Yeah.
But we will be telling them. And, you know, just as they shoot their series or their movies with, you know, surprise endings,
yes,
and manage to keep secrets.
Right.
We trust our actors that they're going to keep their secrets as well.
Yeah.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
And, you know, one of the things that I think people have always really enjoyed is the I Am an Actor series that you guys do. Will we still see that on the broadcast?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. In fact, that's what we're leaning into this year. We have actors saying some of the funniest things. We have some great, great moments that actors are talking off the cuff and they're laughing because they're relaxed.
Right.
You know, and they're enjoying the opportunity to kind of talk with us. And we sure enjoyed it.
And there's so many great categories. Tell us some of the people that we are going to be seeing.
Well, as far as our presenters go, we have a laundry list of fabulous names. Riza Mead, Sterling K. Brown, Lily Common, Colin Common, Ted Danson, Viola Davis, David Diggs, Cynthia Erivo, Jimmy Fallon, Josh Gad, Henry Golding, Ethan Hawke, Mindy Kaling, Dan Levy, Helen Mirren, Rita Moreno, Daisy Ridley, Mary Steenburgen, and Jason Sudeikis, and the Ted Lasso cast.
Oh,
I love that.
I love it. We posted on our show page today the little ensemble, the little skit that Ted and Jason, the Ted Lasso crew, did about their SAG nomination. It was so cute.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it? And there's more to come. We managed to do things so differently this year in shooting people in their own bubbles to be safe. And because we have a lot of actors who are working around the world on their productions, if we didn't shoot them in their homes or in a safe bubble, they shot in their own production budget bubble, which really was wonderful to share their experience, whether they're in London or Australia or Vancouver, you know, and to reach out and want to work with us in this year.
Do you feel like, Kathy, this year, do you think people have seen more of the shows, both TV and movie, because we've watched so much more this year? I mean, what's your impression of that.
Yeah, I especially do for television.
Yes.
I think that television has really come into its own, and there's so many wonderful series and limited series and movies of the week and all. And then the movies are, I think they're a little bit smaller, but they're so interesting, and the acting is so wonderful in them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't, go to our website, which is sagawards.org, and look at what's nominated and see if you can catch up before Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it's really lovely. And one of the fun things that I think was that the actors acknowledged Bridgerton, which was such a big darn deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in Lovecraft County. I mean, Bridgerton was the bomb. I mean,
yeah.
That kind of changed our life and got us through January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we have seen so many of these shows in Lovecraft County and Ozark again. But it's the thing that's always been so special about this show is the actors really love being there.
Yeah,
and it's their show.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have it be on an hour show,
right.
I'm super excited because that's just going to clip by.
Will be the first time we've ever been able to watch it live.
There you go. Me too.
Yeah, you too,
on
Kathy.
My own couch. Can you imagine?
No.
I cannot even wrap my brain around it. I really can't. But it's going to be exciting. And, you know, I don't think people realize that, you know, the actors do love it because they get to vote mm-hmm. for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we had the highest number of eligible voters.
Oh, wow.
We had over 129,000.
Wow.
500
okay.
eligible voters. There isn't another awards group that has that kind of voting body.
Yeah, and you know, we know that too, because one of the things that I can't tell you how many times we reference and talk about the show, but even though you're backstage in the media room, we really have had some very amazing personal moments with people who get up and are very vulnerable. Not everybody is, but just we've had a lot of really like
when they come
dazzling
back.
Moments when they come backstage and they're so
proud.
Moved and proud that they got a Screen Actors Guild Award.
Well, that was one of the things that we had to think about. How do we still give that to our members,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though we're pre-taping? And so we're going to be shooting them, in essence, in front of each other, but in smaller groups,
okay.
so we could really capture that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're still going to get to be applauded by their fellow actors
mm-hmm.
in groups. And I think that's going to mean a lot to them. And the way that we're introducing things is going to be different than we've ever done. Pretty much everything is going to be different than anything we've ever done.
It sounds like it. And we want to let people know that the Screen Actor Guild Awards are this Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on TNT and TBS. But if people are streaming, it's also going to be on Hulu, Live TV, AT&T, Sling TV, and YouTube
okay.
TV. So there's other options. Talk to us a little bit about the red carpet.
Well, the red carpet is actually, of course, going to be a Zoom.
Right.
And that is, you know, our actors, before they find out, just like it would be at the show,
mm-hmm.
they will be talking to the press about the SAG Awards, about their projects, and, you know, just having a frank conversation. And then they will go into a separate room where the media will not be, so
right.
the media will not be hearing it. And we will be sharing with the actors
okay.
Who has been selected.
Cool.
I'm so excited to see how you did this. I know you guys are so smart. I think it's just going to be...
I feel very bad that the producers over at the Academy didn't talk to you guys. Holy crap. Talk about just doing everything wrong. Anyway.
Well, you know, we don't know that. Their show is in a month, but
right.
our show is Sunday.
Yeah.
And we know it's Easter Sunday, so we hope everybody has a blessed holiday. It's also the last day of Passover, I think.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
by the time we get to the evening and Central Time, we think you guys will have enjoyed and
need something cool
and we'll
to watch.
All be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll all be blessed to be able to sit and watch the show together.
Yes.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much for being on with us today. And I know it's going to be, you know, a wonderful program. And just thanks for your support and talking to us people in Minnesota.
Well, we love you guys. Stay safe and stay warm.
Both things we're trying to do right now. Thanks so much, Kath. Talk to you later, okay? All right, again, it's this Sunday at 8 o'clock on TNT and TBS. When we come back, it's time for Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Yes, darling.
Hello. Are you here? Are you on the floor doing stretches?
No, that was a massive back spasm. No, I'm sitting upright.
Was that last Friday that happened?
Or was it just yesterday?
When did that happen?
No, that was Friday in the last hour, I think.
Yeah, because you were crying and laughing, and I confessed to everybody that I've always been a woman who does not know what to do under these conditions.
It really
makes me sweat like a... I don't know what.
I'm going to the chiropractor
everything
tomorrow.
I had
everything on
blank.
One side of my body's jammed.
Okay.
And that all happened. All right, so listen to today. If you want to celebrate something, and I'm sick of saying it's a Productive Tuesday. So I just don't ever want to say that again on this show. I'm just going to say that alone.
Oh, wow. I'm passive aggressively taking us to task,
I can't stand that anymore.
Okay, then,
it's just another Tuesday.
Well, no, we'll come up with... baffling words for productive.
I just can't stand it anymore because I feel like every day is productive.
But it is a damn fact. Maybe not in the pandemic.
Not in the pandemic. Let's take a break.
People make appointments and get crap done.
I did.
Because they took Monday off because they were recovering from the weekend.
Right.
Who even takes... What's there to recover from on a weekend anymore?
But it doesn't matter. People are...
All right, let me just tell you something.
You're just in such a bad mood. I want to dig down and find out what's going on.
Yeah, I'd say Tuesday is probably the most high-yielding day of the week.
I think that's a fact.
I am in the loop of loopiness. I have two left feet,
Julia. Let me speak this. Okay.
I have two left feet.
All, like, she's special. She's feeling Groundhog Day like nobody else is.
Everyone has gone through their cycles at different times during the pandemic. Mine is hit hard. Hard. I hit a wall.
I'd love to speculate out loud why, but I know you'd kick me. But if you're
too far away.
Right.
She's too far away. No, I hit the wall hard. And so I'm just like, can I just even go to bed earlier to end the day? But I'm not alone in this. I know everyone is struggling. So.
Oh, that was so heartfelt. But let us really believe you. We're all going to pull up our bar stools right now and let you really sell us on this story. Jeez Louise.
How long has this segment been going on? We're at about the fourth or fifth minute, and we're not even on our first story.
Yeah, no, I love it. This is how a random thought should be.
It's just all over the board. But listen to this, okay? So here's every bloody thing if you want to celebrate something today, okay? National Doctor Day. We need to thank our doctors and healthcare providers. That's one. I'm in Control Day. National The Grass Is Always Browner on the Other Side of the Fence Day.
I curse the day they put in this plexiglass
National
because
walk
I
in
cannot
a
fire a rubber band at you right now.
National Virtual Vacation. National Pencil Day. And that brought me to something.
Yeah.
Okay, when the pencils were invented with... using some sort of a iron something, but they came when I can't even talk, Lori. I'm looking at you, and Lori's got a rash on her nose, so she's got.
I'm trying to be interested in a pencil conversation.
Listen,
riveted.
There's a new job title out there if people are looking to give themselves one. It's director of remote workers. Did you read that today in the paper?
I didn't see that. No. Okay.
Oh yeah, big deal.
Well, that's interesting because
not really.
I mean, what's going to happen this fall? Some places are going back, some places aren't. What is there going to be somebody that wrangles?
You know what? We're not going to worry about that.
It's National Grabby Day.
People are going to figure it out, and I'm not going to spend one second thinking about it.
That's why they're going to hire a, what is it called?
A director of remote workers.
Because here's the biggest problem, if we can go off on a tangent.
Welcome it, because I'm sweating. I've been under so much pressure to come up with something interesting to say. I have a whole pile here, but I don't care about it.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Now people are starting to realize
they have to go back to work.
No, people are realizing. Yeah, people that are have been skating on the ragged edge of work,
and meaning, but at home life and kid life and everything life,
less work than what you do. Those people are terrified about going back to the office because they have and they've enjoyed this. People who manage people or whatever are looking for productivity and wanting things to get done and run whatever kind of business where you don't want business being lost or whatever. There's a lot of they want people back in the office, yeah, though.
I am.
So people can quit skating the lazy, ragged edge.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's just a theory, Julia.
Okay. I think people are probably turning channels right now because they've worked their butt off this year. So, but for all of those out there, that was Lori.
Yeah. Well, what
because I'm think of so many of our listeners have children at home, and this year must have been bloody hell.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that the people in the suits want people to be back at work. A lot of them, unless you know they are trying to get less rent or something. And
hey,
have less
why do you
spaces?
Think VW, the automobile brand, is changing their name? You know what they're changing it to?
What?
Volkswagen, like electrical Volts. Are they going all electric? This just got out today.
Yeah.
The VW, the Volkswagen, is changing to Volts.
Well, that's how you said it the first time, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How much body fat do you have, Lauren, do you think?
I mean, I'm trying to get back on the business thing way that you think I just insulted everybody.
Because I think people have really worked as hard as they can.
Of course. I mean, we know that, but I'm just telling you how I think that a lot of hard-ass business people are going to think they want people to get back in the office.
I agree.
And that's what I'm saying.
The commercial real estate people.
And some people will want to and other people won't. But I'm just saying that I personally cannot be worried about what people are going to do in September when I, you know.
I'm going away for the month.
No, we've all got to get vaccinated first before we can start having these. You know what I mean? Let's all get vaccinated. Let's all work on getting that happening.
What percentage of body fat do you think Casey has?
Well, when I met him, it was 4%.
It was 4%.
Because we snorkeled in Aruba. Which
and he wouldn't stay under the water?
They had to put floaties on him. He sank like a stone.
Oh,
Rocco, I'm floating like there's no tomorrow, you know. And I'm just scared to dive down. I think, well, snorkeling, why dive? That's the top of the pirate ship or whatever we were over. And Casey's sinking. So the guy was like, here, and he put these things on
like
him.
Like
so
little kids wear.
Yeah, so floaties. He could float.
That's funny. Okay, because Sylvester Stallone, when he made Rocky III, weighed 166 pounds and had 2.8% body fat.
No, Casey had 4%.
I think I have 40.
He was just, and he ran.
Rocco, you're obese. Four. What's yours?
I have not measured it, and I don't want to.
No, he admitted to it last week.
I admitted to it because that's how I was able to get a vaccine, because my BMI was over 30.
Oh,
so Rocco. Yay me and my fat beer belly.
But you didn't gain more than 35.
Anyway, all right, we gotta go.
All right, we'll be back. I'll never be
lonely. Oh,
I love this song.
One. Yeah, so good. You know what? I was glad to read in Rolling Stone today.
Oh, you name dropper.
Well, sorry.
You reader.
Well, you and I loved. I have probably 15 years of the Now, you know, CDs. Now that's
now,
what I call music.
Yeah.
Series I would get it every year at Target. Every year, they still sell them, and they still sell them, and even the young kid, they love them because it gives people 21 or 22 of the songs of that year.
Yep.
And in a lot of different genres.
Totally. They're the best.
Yeah.
And then you have it physically, like, this is that year.
This is that year. Yeah. So they still sell. They still produce it.
And it's Wow. And that was the version where they...
Now.
No, I know. But it was Wow or something because they'd clean it up for kids. Because I'd buy the kids'
version.
Right.
Kids Bop.
Yeah, Kids Bop. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
So I have like, I have it like 12 years.
Do you really, Lori?
Yeah. And
now you don't have a CD player.
I'm going, well, I have a boombox. I have a CD boombox. So if I ever get around to doing something I've put off, like painting or some other horrible project.
You could
project,
bring it to the cabin. I've got a
CD player.
I could
bring my
there.
Boom. Yeah, or to a cabin I could bring it.
I have CD player there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this next story really, of course, piqued my interest because it has been, you noticed, I have not forced your royal hand.
Oh, you mean you've given me 3 days off talking about Meghan and Harry? Is that what forcing my royal hand is? Oh, it's two because it's only Tuesday.
That's right. No,
you're so kind.
But last week.
Oh, we got Friday off too.
And Thursday and Wednesday.
No, we didn't. Do not lie.
Okay,
we can go back.
It's been like a week.
Oh, 3 days, Laurie. Okay. Just say 3 days.
Well.
Here we go.
Listen.
Change my mind.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, get real. I mean, the royal is as good as it gets, okay?
For some of us.
We've talked about it, though, like in the world of Rocco. There's rock star
fame.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-dong-dong-ding. And there's political. And there's actor. And there's A-list. There's B-list. You know what I'm saying? But royal. I'm just saying that.
Are you going to talk royal?
Ding-a-ling-a-ding-dong-ding come in.
I have no idea.
We're about to hear some.
I don't know, but this is very interesting.
This is not the most productive day of the week. I can go
on.
Yeah,
you can definitely tell that.
See? That's why we got to change the word.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, ding-a-ling-a-ling-dong-ding. Bring it on.
Let's just say that the sex lives of royal people, like people are always very interested in.
Yes. They're dalliances.
We want to even peek in more on that. And we want to know about what the rockers are doing. I mean, we love a groupie story. We love, you know, any of these stories is kiss and tell, whether someone is telling it. But anyway, if we just look at all the books, every movie, TV shows about anything to do, what is one of the biggest subject matters? The British royal family, though.
Oh, all right.
Okay,
fine.
A gazillion different things. So we're never going to not talk about it. Just so
okay,
you know.
Okay, fine.
Just so you know.
Okay, Rocco, you've been warned. Okay. Basically, what she's telling me is, Julia, no matter how much you cross your eyes at me, I'm still going to talk through you because no one can see you.
And would you please turn off the camera? Would you please finish season 4 of The Crown, Philip and Diana? It's such a good season.
I'm 3 in.
Because we would have met all those people backstage because they're going to win the Screen Actor Guild Award.
The Crown people,
The Crown people, for sure. And we did see them when they won the first year, when it was Claire Foy and that beautiful Matt Smith who played young Prince Philip.
Yes, we did, and we had cocktails.
Yes.
So, I'm getting them mixed up with Downton Abbey.
Yeah, almost royal.
But they lived in a big house.
They have posh accents.
That's right. Okay, where are you going with this?
Okay, so
ding-a-ling-a-ling.
The royal biographer, Andrew Morton, who of course did his debut book, Diana, Her True Story. Then he went on to do a book on Wallace Simpson. He did a book on the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. He's done something on Meghan Markle. Well, now he has a book that came out today, the same day as Sharon Stone's memoir, called Elizabeth and Margaret, The Intimate World of the Windsor Sisters.
Mm.
And according to the book, and I think we might have seen this in like The Crown season 1, which was young Elizabeth and Margaret.
Okay.
Where Elizabeth once told her governess that Margaret always wants what I've got.
Yes.
And
I feel the same way about you.
About me. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I had a brother. You decided you needed to marry him.
He was on GMA. He's just saying royal sibling relationships
are touchy.
Have always been complicated. He's using this one, but there's been a whole, I mean, they've
killed
each other.
Because someone's going to take over and someone's not.
Yeah, exactly. So let's hear it from Andrew.
They're the most famous brothers in the world. William and Harry, caught in one of the most public rifts in royal history.
Harry's said that his brother is trapped, his father is trapped. He's been quite disloyal.
Now, Andrew Morton, the author who gained acclaim for his biography of their late mother, Princess Diana, says the pair could take a page from his new book, Elizabeth and Margaret, diving into the complicated but loving relationship between their grandmother and great aunt.
What lessons could William and Harry learn
from Queen Elizabeth and Margaret.
Forgiveness goes a long way. The Queen and Margaret fell out, but they always came back together.
Elder sister, younger sister, number one and number two.
Who's number one?
Just 4 years apart, as children, they were the closest of friends. But as they grew, so did their differences.
Margaret was always the mischievous one, the glamorous one. The Queen was the dutiful one, the sober one, the cautious one.
The dueling dynamic of heir and spare.
What news of Princess Margaret? Any disasters I should be aware of?
The Queen holding her younger sister's happiness in her hands when she fell in love with divorced Captain Peter Townsend.
The Queen was prepared to sacrifice a stain on the monarchy to allow her sister to marry. And if she'd stood firm and said, my sister can marry the man that she loves, I think we might have avoided all the troubles that we've seen in the House of Windsor over the last 60 years.
Wow.
What was your reaction to Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah that made so many headlines?
It was like Diana talking at times, you know, the loneliness, the sense of isolation, being blamed by the media for everything that went wrong. It was almost like she was talking to me from 30 years ago.
History repeating itself.
I was shocked that when Meghan admitted she had mental health issues, that no help had been given because, as we know, Princess Margaret had been for counselling and psychiatry.
What advice can you imagine Diana giving Harry in this moment?
Be happy. And most of all, that she will hope that Harry and William will find some kind of reconciliation. Because she always said to me, Harry is William's backup in the nicest possible way. And I'm sure she was probably thinking of Elizabeth and Margaret.
Yeah, so really interesting, you know.
It's kind of sweet.
And the men in gray suits were the ones who advised the young Queen Elizabeth that it would be dastardly, and we see this in The Crown,
yeah, we do,
for her to allow her younger sister, who is begging her sister, who has all the power in the world,
right.
And no, you can't. And right then and there, Elizabeth listen to her men in gray suits,
right.
And she's been listening to them ever since, and they do not always guide her well.
No, right.
And I think the point that I like that he's making, that if she had gone against them, it would have normalized, it would have been accepted, you love who you love.
And people would follow her and listen to her.
It wouldn't have been anything.
It's not that controversial.
Yes.
It's not that big of a deal.
It wouldn't, no one would have, the church wouldn't have fallen over. And unfortunately, she listened to them. And, you know, she also listened to them when they, you know, about Diana. You know, it took her 3 weeks to make it.
Yes, it did.
You know,
okay.
So she's been steered wrong by them.
Mm-hmm.
Before, and is probably, and I have no doubt that Harry and Meghan, or Harry and William, they will make up. They totally, Julia, they just will. They're brothers, and they went through the loss of their mother together, and it's an experience only the two of them have.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this Andrew Morton book, I guess Margaret in her 50s once remarked, I am second best after all these years, and I will be second best to my grave.
Well,
and
it's just a place. That's who you
Harry
are.
So Harry has said, it's not a diss against William if Harry doesn't want to do that.
Right.
And I think William will understand that after he gets over being mad about being called the truth out loud in a, you know, dirty laundry family way about trapped.
Got it.
That's what I think. Okay. I don't know. Rocco, what do you think?
I don't pay too much attention to this.
Right, but I mean, as a brother, this kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, when you grow up and have that expectation on you, like that this guy is important and then you're just kind of the fun one that can't, it's got to affect things, right?
Right. You know, it really does. I mean, and it affected their dad. And
you still hear, what did I just read, that the Queen doesn't think Prince Charles would do a good job?
She never really bonded
with him
because she was
always working. She likes her baby son. She likes Andrew.
She didn't bond until the last two kids.
Yeah.
I mean, she bonded. She has the bond with Anne because it's her only daughter.
Right.
She's got three boys, but she just, even though, you know, she probably is fond of the old chap, you know, in her
In her little way.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, really, really, should stop listening to the men in gray suits and just be with Philip and don't be done with your queen. I mean, the pandemic is the perfect time to step back and pass on the coronet. The scepter. And the crown.
I think it needs the crown jewels. Well, that crown is so heavy.
And all those men in gray suits.
You can't wear that hoodie anymore.
And just be done with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, listen, we got a Hollywood speak, Julia. We're going to start with a headline.
Okay.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right, Julia, let me get all of your attention, 110%, if you can find it, for this Hollywood speak session.
That is a big request.
You can do it. Okay, here, I want you to Hollywood speak. I'm going to give you, this is the headline of a review, and you're going to Hollywood speak and give me the movie to which it belongs.
Oh, dear.
It's really going to be easy for you.
You promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Godzilla, comma, meet Kong, period, ass, comma, meet seat, period, face, comma, comma, meet palm. What movie is it? That is like the easiest one I've ever given you because I gave you the name.
Well, Godzilla meets King Kong and holds him up in his palm while he's masturbating. I don't know what.
It's the
palm.
What?
The palm. What are we talking about? The banana? Was it last week? It was the banana in the sack. Remember? Remember when you told me that one?
I think the answer we're looking for is
Godzilla Kong. Versus Kong is the Hollywood speak.
Well, why didn't you said it at the very beginning?
I read you the headline, Godzilla meet Kong, ass meet seat, face meet palm.
It's horrible.
They don't like this movie.
It's horrible. Someone's going like, oh, shoot, it stinks.
This is what everybody in their cars and at home are doing with you right now. They're doing a face palm because they're like, is she on the peyote or what?
Where did I get that?
She just had extra sriracha on her.
You put it in my coffee today.
Good Lord. No, it's hold my banana while I grab this lizard.
That's it.
That's what Rolling Stone gave.
But it made so much money overseas.
Well, it's opening tomorrow, but it's going to be in a lot of theaters in China, which is, you know, I guess 38 markets overseas last week. Yeah. Anyway, it's a terrible movie. It's a terrible movie.
We would never see it.
I've seen some decent headlines.
I know. Like I mean, AV according Club to Rolling Stone, I actually am interested in it because Alexander Skarsgård is in it. And
we've talked about this.
You know,
I saw somebody on Twitter that just said, if you just assume it's just action and doesn't have much of a brain,
it does have
a
brain.
Just enjoy it, then it's going to be good.
Yeah, I want to see this movie. And even reading that headline, I was like, I've hit my face quite a bit over the last year. What's one more time? You know?
We're not talking about you walking into walls.
Right,
okay.
We don't mind. Okay, Gwyneth
Are
Paltrow.
You going to go?
Yeah.
You know, they just announced.
Well, it's on HBO starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. That's
no,
what
I'm totally,
okay.
I'm totally, Casey okay. and I are watching it with the popcorn and everything.
All right.
Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, this interview with the Harper's Bazaar is 100% SponCon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Tell people what that is.
Yeah. It's paid for advertising.
Basically, it's under the guise of an interview, but I mean, this is like just so whatever. So apparently she agreed to the interview because she said a lot of successful women in Hollywood don't want to talk about this, and I'm willing to talk
about
it.
Is she talking about Botox? Is this about Botox again?
This is the thing she's the face of.
Yeah.
It's something like Botox. But she's trying to besmirch Botox and say it says you look
a lot
froze.
Of people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that people don't want to do, and she's willing to do it. And she said for her, a teeny drop of the Xeomin makes her look quote unquote less pissed off. Which I'm glad that in her inadvertent goopy way, she's admitted that yes, indeed, Goop, you have RBF.
Bitchy resting face.
Oh, yeah.
But
she's got it.
But
she does.
But RBF is different. It's like the way we say PSTD. We always say it wrong. Okay. RBF is, it's BRF.
Okay, that. Resting. I said it out loud. Resty bitchy face. She's got it. I mean, that's.
I feel like I have it today. It.
Yeah, well, you've got the resting bitchy attitude. That's for sure. Anyway, and then she's like, I had a midlife crisis when I turned 40. I went to go see the doctor. It was a disaster. I didn't do anything else for a long, long time. I was bruised. My forehead was completely frozen. And I didn't look like myself at all. And it wasn't until I mean, she's gone through World War III. Do you hear how she talks about it? Oh, she's
experienced life in a different way than we have, Lori.
Joy.
I know. She's a lot.
Yeah, she is. I don't know.
She's
very annoying.
She's Gwyneth.
She continues to be annoying.
Okay.
With each and everything she does. Hollywood speak this. Meghan and Harry planning home birth for second child.
They don't. They're bringing in everyone from the hospital. They have doctors. They don't want it to be. I don't know. I don't know why.
Julius, please speculate.
They don't want the pictures to get out and be sold. They're worried about the paparazzi. This is a control thing.
Okay.
It's a control.
Security.
I think it's, I don't understand that philosophy ever, but people.
Here, motherhood speak this.
Okay, I don't know that I'm very good at any speak today. But
I bet Rocco's wondering this. Other people are wondering this. Okay. I've wondered often about it.
Why people want to do home births?
No, but where do you give birth? Do you ruin your mattress in any old room? Do you get a birthing mattress? Do you get in a bathtub?
Well, if you're...
Is there a hospital bed that comes
Harry
in?
Harry and Meghan, I don't know. I think
to me, giving birth in your bed, every
memory.
No, but every scene I've ever seen, I just think, well, no one's going to lay in that bed again. You know,
it's a mess.
It's a mess.
I would do it in a hospital, Lori.
Right. But what I'm saying is when you give it at home birth, do you buy a special birthing mattress?
Okay. So since I've never done this as a birthing woman and only have gone to hospitals, the thought of it.
Yeah.
I never have thought of that though.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would you speculate?
Or maybe, maybe they're doing the birthing chair or the birthing pool or I don't know, but it sounds horrible to me, Lori.
Yeah. I mean, and what would be a birthing chair? I mean, is it a gynecological type of
it's
thing?
It's like a dental chair. But they just, the legs spread and it, there's a whole...
Yeah, I mean... I don't know.
But it doesn't... Well, you know...
Just a question. Nobody can answer at the moment.
And if someone wants to know, if someone's had an at-home birth that you planned...
I did. That's what I'm wondering.
No, I don't understand. I don't.
I mean, they probably have a beautiful tub that nobody bathes in
anymore.
Well,
I know, but I don't know.
And, like, they could, like, get that all nice and ready for you.
I don't know.
But
that
would be uncomfortable to give birth in a bathtub, it seems.
Okay, we do have Regina on the phone who has some insights into
this.
Okay,
Regina, help us out here.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Yes, I had a home birth, and you know, there's a thing called chucks, and that's a has a like a rubber background bathroom, and we just used old towels and old sheets, and yeah, it was really not that messy.
Okay. So it's the rubber sheet though.
It's the rubber sheet
to protect the mattress.
Yeah, and exactly. So, and you wanted to do that because you just
well. My first son was a cesarean.
Right.
And, I just wanted to have him at home. I had a certified midwife and my best friend was a nurse and
right.
And it was actually kind of a party.
Oh, fun.
And you weren't drinking, but I don't know.
I didn't really have much of an appetite, although those around us did. Mm-hmm. And believe me, afterwards I let loose.
And were you playing music and did you have candles and sage going?
That was the goal.
Okay.
It really didn't, I really wasn't in the mood for any of that.
Any of that. Got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that baby out. And just to clarify, I did have emergency backup doctors set up at the hospital, you know, and we were just, you know, minutes away.
Right. And did you do the old wives' tale and put a knife under your bed to cut the pain?
Okay.
Didn't do that. No.
Okay. Honestly, and I'm glad you told us that you had a backup because I would have been so scared if I had a cesarean with the first one.
Well, that's good. But so
thank you for telling us. You. So there's this thing called chucks.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. All right. We will be back, people.